Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Series 2, Episode 228 of this daily study podcast. Thank you for joining back with us as we are continuing our study of August the 10th to August 16th, covering Alma 53-63, Preserved by His Marvellous Power. And today we're moving into the section which is titled, I Can Choose to Think the Best of Others and Not Be Offended. Now, this is a very interesting section of scripture we have here. Because we've talked about the righteousness and the wonderful nature and character of Captain Moroni often in the past couple of weeks. And today we're going to look at something which is a little more different to what we've seen before. Today we're going to focus on mainly Alma 60, which is Moroni's letter to the Chief Judge Pahoran, and basically just how unhappy he is with something that has happened. So we read at the end of Helaman's words about the stripling warriors that they are in dire need of support and supplies and help and more men really as well to help protect the land that they have miraculously been able to take back. In verse 3 of Alma 59 we read, and it came to pass that he, Moroni, immediately sends an epistle to Pahoran, desiring that he should cause men to be gathered together to strengthen Helaman or the armies of Helaman, insomuch that he might with ease maintain that part of the land which he had so miraculously prospered in regaining. So you see, Moroni sends this message, nothing is sent back, and so basically Moroni gets very frustrated and angry. Insomuch that he sends another epistle or letter to Pahoran, and that is what makes up Alma chapter 60. In the 168, why was Moroni's correspondence with Pahoran significant? We read about part maybe why this is included in the Book of Mormon, because of course not everything in here, everything that was written is not recorded in here, and everything that was recorded in here was done so for a reason, particularly with our day in mind. So let's have a look at a bit of that know why, what it says. It says, quote, that Mormon preserved Moroni's letter to Pahoran is in its abridgment, in his original. I'm going to start again. That Mormon preserved Moroni's letter to Pahoran in his abridgment is remarkable. It shows a level of honesty on Mormon's part, since he was willing to include information that portrayed Moroni, one of his heroes, in an unflattering light. Close quote. And I think this is a really important lesson for us to take on board. First of all, that, you know, people that we look up to, individuals that we look up to because we either are grateful for their influence or we are appreciative of their qualities, or if we look up to them in the sense that they literally are a leader over us, whether it's at work or whether it's in a church setting, all leaders, all people that we look up to, who don't have to be leaders, of course, but everyone that we look up to as an example are not perfect. And I think that this is something which we need to remember. When we speak about Captain Moroni, we need to remember that whilst his valiance and his diligent attitude towards defending his land and his country sometimes did dip over into overzealousness, and in this case he certainly did misunderstand the situation. So let's dive into his letter, and then tomorrow we'll conclude this week with Pahoran's wonderful response. In Alma 60 verse 1 we know that Captain Moroni introduces his letter to Pahoran, and Hugh Nibley says this about Captain Moroni. He says, quote, the letter seethes with resentment of the man at the front of the easy living ways of the VIPs back at the Capitol, the old misunderstandings between the office and the field. He starts off by reminding the governor of his duty to supply the armies in the field, and reminds him that both he and Helaman have suffered from short supplies from the beginning. He admits his ignorance of the situation and asks for information, and yet he cannot resist passing judgment with a peevish and quite unjustified charge of negligence. Close quote. I think that all of us at times have this moment where, you know, we look at someone in a position of authority, or we look at someone making decisions on our behalf or our environment, and we question them at times. And I think that that is a completely natural and human thing to do. And, you know, it's not a bad thing either. And I think that, you know, obviously Moroni does state his ignorance and asks for information, but where he goes wrong is going into this judging and charging and accusing Pahoran of being negligent. when he doesn't know the full story. And he himself admits in this letter that he doesn't know the whole story. I think that that is an important thing that we need to remember. In verse 7, we have this really powerful and really judgmental verse from Captain Moroni, where he says, "Can you think to sit upon your thrones in a state of thoughtless stupor while your enemies are spreading the work of death around you, yea, while they are murdering thousands of your brethren?" I mean, yeah, I certainly have had a few experiences in my life where, mainly in work settings, to be honest, it hasn't really happened so much in church settings, but it does happen occasionally where we question things and wonder why they are in such a way. But certainly in a work setting, a couple of times, I have, you know, been very cross and very angry about things. And, you know, a couple of times there were, you know, reasons which were perhaps where things were unjustified, but in a many number of the cases where I was unhappy with certain things that happened, I then found out later that actually I didn't have the full story, that actually that wasn't quite right. And, you know, I think that we have an obligation to not pass judgments on people when we don't, well, I don't, to be honest, we don't have really an obligation to pass judgments on people even when we do have more of the story, because we are not in that position. We don't know what we would do there. And there's only one that can really judge us fairly and perfectly, and that is our Saviour, who has gone through everything that we go through. In verse 13, Moroni mentions that those thousands who have died by the sword, he isn't sad that they have died, because he is, you know, he doesn't think that they are not in a safe place, which is important. In verse 13, he says, "For the Lord suffereth the righteous to be slain, that his justice and judgment may come upon the wicked. Therefore, ye need not suppose that the righteous are lost because they are slain. For behold, they do enter into the rest of the Lord their God." And I wanted to include this in the study because I think it's important for us to remember that, again, these bad things that do happen, sometimes on the part of other people, sometimes because that is just the way the world is. We can always have peace in the knowledge that our Lord and Saviour will bless us and support us even after we pass on from this life. Elder Quentin L. Cook says, quote, "From the limited perspective of those who do not have knowledge, understanding or faith in the Father's plan, who look at the world only through the lens of mortality with its wards, violence, disease and evil, this life can seem depressing, chaotic, unfair and meaningless. Church leaders have compared this perspective with someone walking in the middle of a three-act play. Those without knowledge of the Father's plan do not understand what happened in the first act or the premortal existence and the purposes established there, nor do they understand the clarification and resolution that come in the third act, which is the glorious fulfilment of the Father's plan." Close quote. Moroni continues, outlines the issues and says, but, you know, why am I even telling you about this? In verse 18, he says, "But why should I say much concerning this matter? For we know not that what ye yourselves are seeking for authority. We know not but what ye are also traitors to your country." And he goes again into this, you know, this really negative explanation of why he is pretty certain that he's going to have to make something happen with this. In verse 23, he talks about cleansing the inward vessel, and then we can cleanse the outer vessel. And obviously this is a very clear warning from Moroni that he is planning to take action to cleanse this inner vessel. It's quite sharply toned. And this stems from, ancient Israel and laws about cleansing pots and various vessels to make sure that they were clean for using again and again. And we obviously see this teaching from the Saviour as well about cleansing the inward vessel so that we can have the outward vessel clean as well. And so there's obviously a great understanding of this, again, a link to the ancient Israel practices that the Nephites will have been following. But at the end of all of this, Captain Moroni does say something which reminds us of his true character, the character that perhaps we remember him most for. In verse 36, he says, "But behold, I am Moroni, your chief captain. I seek not for power, but to pull it down. I seek not for honour of the world, but for the glory of my God and the freedom and welfare of my country. And thus I close mine epistle." And of course, so at the end, he has obviously said all these things, but he reminds Pahoran, and he also states that he is not seeking this power. This isn't because he wants to get the power for himself. He simply wants to make sure that everything is right for the people that he serves. Neil Elwood Lambert said this, quote, Moroni was an impressive military strategist. Moroni was a great patriot. He was one who loved, supported, and defended his country and his heritage. Perhaps most important of all, Moroni was a leader in righteousness. He was a man of mighty prayer. He knew the importance of scripture and the significance of righteous covenants. Moroni lived worthy of receiving direct revelation from the Lord, close quote. And despite all this, you know, and again, an important lesson for us, Moroni also was able to make mistakes and still have this, these wonderful things said about him. Remember, Mormon, who was the abridger of this record, had literally said about 10 or 13 chapters ago that Moroni was a wonderful example, and that if any men were and women were like unto Moroni, then the powers of hell would be shaken. And yet he still makes a mistake here. And I think that is a sobering and a comforting thought as well, to know that we can make those mistakes. But of course, Captain Moroni also had to respond to Pahoran's response, where he realizes he probably judged a little too strongly. So we'll read about that tomorrow. Thank you for listening today. Hope you've enjoyed it. Please share the podcast, review it, subscribe to it. It'd be great to get it out there. You can join the Facebook group, Church of Jesus Christ Study Session with Come Follow Me, if you'd like to share something in a few, share something on there. That'd be wonderful. And of course, you can email ldsstudysession@gmail.com if you'd like to join in a future podcast episode yourself. Thank you for listening, and until we meet again.